Hi, this is Daniel Garber, and I'm here reviewing movies for CulturalMining.com and Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM. This week, no comments about movie theaters and cinema in general. I'm just going to dive right in head first and review a grab bag, three very different August movies. First, Eat, Pray, Love, directed by Ryan Murphy. Liz, played by Julie Roberts, a successful writer, gets her fortune told in Bali, telling her her destiny. Soon after that, her marriage collapses, and she feels empty and forlorn, so she sets off on a round-the-world tour of popular vacation spots to spend some of her money. In Rome, she learns about dolce far niente, which she interprets as knowing how to order a meal in a restaurant. In India, at an ashram, she learns to find her inner balance by being smug, condescending, and vaguely pissed off as she scrubs the stone floors. Then, in Bali, settling into the island's most expensive hotel, she meditates and rides her bike. She meets a woman who has to live in a rented place, not a house of her own. Can you imagine? She feels so sympathetic, she decides to raise money on Facebook. What a philanthropist. I want to like this movie. It had beautiful scenery, Bali, Rome, New York, India, and great actors, Billy Crudup, James Franco, Javier Bardem. And I'm not a Julia Roberts hater. I like her. I've even heard the writer, Elizabeth Gilbert, who's the main character in the movie, talk on the radio, and she seems really smart and interesting, but this movie is just horrible. Some people seem to walk out happy, so I can't figure out why. It's one of the worst, stupidest, most annoyingly cliched and obnoxious movies I've seen in a long time. Here's a typical line of the profundity she encounters on her quest for wholeness and self-actualization. If you want to get to the castle, groceries, you've got to swim the moat. Maybe if it had been called The Ugly American, I would have understood this movie better. In the beginning, I was hoping that all the cute supporting roles would make up for Julie Roberts' insufferable character, but that didn't pan out. Instead, we get to see anorexic Julia saying, "I'm fat. Look at my muffin top." And the next scene is her squeezing into a pair of designer jeans over her model-bodied flat belly. You get to see her in Italy learning how to talk with her hands. "Like this," says Julie Roberts. Did she actually say "like this"? Oh my God. Eat, Pray, Love. I ate my popcorn. I prayed this movie would get just a little bit better. And I loved walking out at the end of that horrible movie and getting out of there. Okay, next movie, Centurion, directed by Neil Marshall. I went to this movie at Toronto After Dark Festival, partly because Michael Fassbender was in the main role. He was amazing in two British movies of the last couple of years, Hunger, about the IRA's Bobby Sands prison hunger strike, and a coming-of-age drama, The Amazing Fish Tank. This movie, while set in the British Isles, is, shall we say, a little bit different from those two. This is a sword and sandals epic about the period when the Roman soldiers fought against the Picts. This is way before all those nouveau immigrants, all those Angles, Jutes, and Saxons moving in and spoiling the neighborhood. This was way back when. So, in a big battle, the Roman legions were there fighting those Picts up in the north. They're tough mofos, those Picts are, with all their Pictish ways and blue face paint. Don't mess with them. But the Romans are tough too. Anyway, there's battle after battle and skirmish after skirmish before the actual story takes off. Lots of splash and ah and ooh as another head gets chopped off and plopped into a water barrel. Anyway, so Quintus Dius, a centurion and a Pict by birth, has been training for fighting since his childhood. He speaks the local language and knows the way around. After the failed attempt to beat the locals, now he just wants to rescue a Roman general and call it a day. But in their botched attempt, someone in his ragtag multicultural Roman platoon does something that sets the whole tribe of Picts against them till the death. They have to escape and make it back to the main Roman legion. So there are lots of scenic mountains and rivers and waterfalls that they try to outwit the dangerous Picts, and an expert tracker who always seems to find them, a fur-clad and mute Lisbeth Salander-type rival, played by the striking Olga Kurylenko. I started to get dizzy when I thought of all the swooping airplanes they had to rent to shoot this movie. So on the way back to the Romans, they encounter a Pictish witch, and she adds a further dimension to the story. I like this movie just for its bigness. I got bored of all the killing and stabbing and stuff, but it brightened a bit in the second half. Anyway, it's better than Troy or Gladiator or the 300, but that's not saying much. So if you like very bloody Roman big screen war movies, then, well, this is the movie for you. Finally, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, directed by Edgar Wright, based on the graphic novels by Brian Lee O'Malley and starring Michael Cera in the title role. Scott Pilgrim is a nerdy guy in a band. He shares a bachelor apartment with a gay dude who gets laid way more than he does. Scott's still pining for a girlfriend who dumped him a year ago. And he's dating a high school girl named Knives Chow, who's gradually becoming more of a fan of the band than a girlfriend. But she's crushing heavily on Scott Pilgrim. Then they play Dance Dance Revolution together in perfect harmony. But then he meets the girl of his dreams, literally the girl of his dreams, at a party, and they sort of hit it off, even though he's a wimpy Toronto guy and she's a beautiful and glamorous American from New York who changes her hairstyle each week. The thing is, she has lots of baggage from her various exes, all evil, all more successful than he is, and all out to ambush Scott when he's least expecting it. So he has to fight them if he wants to stay with Ramona Flowers. That's the name of his beautiful and glamorous girlfriend. So he goes through a series of 8-bite video battles, battles of the bands, street fighter skirmishes, skateboard derbies on the hills around Casa Loma, covering the whole indie comics, video game, manga, electronica, clubs, and party scene of the downtown Toronto of the 90s and 2000s. It's retro without being specifically any retro period. And the whole movie is told as if the area of Toronto within, say, 30 blocks of the comic store The Beguiling were trapped inside an old Nintendo set. And the only way to get out is to beat all those villains. This is a great movie, and the most Toronto movie I've seen in a long time. References to Honest Ed's, Pizza Pizza, The Second Cup, even SARS are everywhere. I'm not even going to get into all the other characters. Too many, too funny, but I really like this movie. It's just so Toronto. With all the cool people drinking beer at the parties, you know? I think I was at that party in the movie. Okay, maybe I wasn't there, but I was invited. Anyway, you have to watch this movie to find out whether Scott Pilgrim wins his awesome battles or whether the world beats him and just leaves his burnt husk there in an annex alley off Bloor Street. Game over. Just to review, today I talked about Eat, Pray, Love and Scott Pilgrim, now playing, check your local listings, and Centurion, which played at the Toronto After Dark Festival and may open this fall or may go direct to video. And the 11th annual Imaginative Festival of brand new movies by Indigenous peoples here and around the world that's starting tonight and continuing for the next 5 days. You should check this out. It's opening tonight with Boy, a Maori coming-of-age story that was a huge hit in New Zealand. Look online at imaginative.org. This is Daniel Garber reviewing movies on Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.